Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. We all recoil hearing stories of killers who slay without conscience or remorse and then complain if they're not treated properly. They're like Cain of old, who had no sorrow for killing Abel, but was quite worried that someone might kill him. Today, understanding the mind of the self-absorbed. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Pastor Lutzer, as a culture, it seems we're all concerned about our rights and less concerned about the rights of others.
You know, Dave, what's really interesting is when I've preached on these matters, only in a few instances have I had people come up and say, Pastor Lutzer, I am a destroyer. It's very interesting that there are so many people who feel as if they have been destroyed or someone has attempted to destroy them, and their perception may be correct. But where are all the destroyers? Well, oftentimes destroyers do not see themselves as destroyers, and they make sure that they live in denial so that they don't have to confront their own sin and their own evil. It's a reminder of the fact that the human heart is indeed deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But here we are, and this sermon series is entitled to help us to navigate this kind of a world. We're also looking for those who continue to help us expand the ministry of Running to Win. Because of people like you, and you've probably heard me say this before, we are in 50 different countries in 7 different languages. Let me ask, would you explore the possibility of partnering with us as we get the gospel of Jesus Christ to millions around the world? Of course, you need some info. Here it is. You can go to rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com, and when you're there, you click on the Endurance Partner button, or you can call us at 1-888-218-9337. Remember that we exist to get the gospel to many, as you frequently have heard me say, but also to help you as a believer make it successfully all the way to the finish line.
But notice this, when the Lord says to him, "Where is Abel your brother?" Cain lies. He says, "I do not know." Characteristic of a person who can destroy others and not feel bad about it, but deeply affected by his own hurts. He will lie. He will twist. He will distort. He's like a blotter. He'll soak it all up, but then he'll give it to you backwards. That's the way he is. Well, the Lord says to him, Cain says, actually, am I my brother's keeper? You know what the answer to that question is? Yes, I'm sorry, you are. We are the keeper of those who are members of our family. We do have responsibility. And then notice what the Lord says to him. He says, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." Wow, that should take our breath away. A Hebrew scholar by the name of Westerman says this is one of the most monumental statements in the whole Bible. It needs no explanation. It retains its validity throughout all centuries. And the most important phrase is but one word in Hebrew, Ali. The voice of your brother's blood cries, Eli, to me. God says, Cain, there's no way that you can hide what you've done. You can't get out of it because I am the one to whom the blood is responding. In fact, the author goes on to say, the blood of the victim cries out, and there is someone to whom it cries. Cain cannot hide his sin. And may I say today that the blood of innocent people cries up, Eli, to God, even in our abortion clinics. Now, those of you who have had abortions, You know, of course, that there is forgiveness and cleansing of the conscience and of the heart. It's not my intention to lay a guilt trip on you, but when nationally we are involved in the killing of tens of thousands of preborn infants, their blood cries up, Eli, to God. There is someone to whom their blood cries. And then the Lord goes on and he says, Cain, from now on, you'll notice that the ground has been cursed and now you are going to be cursed. When you work the ground, verse 12, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. And so what the Lord says is you are going to be judged for what you do. The soil was cursed. Now Cain is cursed. Second characteristic, he avoids responsibility. Where's your brother? I don't know. Am I his keeper? Third characteristic is he's self-absorbed. You'll notice what Cain says now, and let's all take out our handkerchiefs and weep for him. He said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Paranoia, they're out to get me. I'm always the one that gets the bad end of the deal. Then the Lord protects him and gives him a mark. We have no idea what that mark is, but God is saying, I don't want these blood feuds to go along. But now let's just think for a moment of what he's saying. Not one iota of remorse. Not saying I'm really sorry that I killed my brother or I regret the evil that I have done. Nothing like that. Instead, a persecution complex and saying, you know, things are so bad that if somebody sees me, they're going to kill me. Well, let's think about that for a moment. If somebody killed them, there'd be a good reason to. Later on, God says that if you shed blood, you are going to be the one whose blood is going to be shed. I mean, you know, they'd have a good reason to kill somebody. A good reason to kill him. But he feels sorry for himself because remember this, that these kinds of people always play by a different set of rules. And they find within themselves this feeling of sorry for them. But there's no sorrow for the blood of his brother, which lies spilled on the ground. In fact, killing his brother probably felt good. You remember that man in Minnesota, you know, who was asked to get away from the particular house that had been built, the deer house for hunters. And what did he do? He shot five of the hunters. You're not going to tell me where I can sit and where I can be. If not, I'll blow you away. And you know what? After you're dead, you'll never tell me again where I can or can't be. Probably felt good. Shoot him. And then walk away without a twinge of conscience. A police officer here in Chicago told me one time that one of the things that just amazed him were kids who could kill somebody else and then go out for dinner as if nothing happened. Able to bear their own hurts and feeling keenly what has been done against them, but incapable, and that's a good word, incapable of feeling the hurts of others. Now let's think a little bit, all right? Well, I hope you've been thinking up until now, but we're going to continue to. What do you think about those who have the mark of being able to hurt others and yet not feel the hurt of others, but feel only hurt for themselves? What do you think they are thinking when I'm preaching this message? You see, because in life there are probably about an even number of people who have been hurt and those who have done the hurting. This message is to this sanctuary. It's also beyond that and the internet and eventually radio. Many people are going to be listening to this. Do you think the people who have that characteristic are saying to themselves, boy, that's one thing about Pastor Lutzer. He really had my number. Oh, that's just me to a T. I've never been able to really submit to advice and to take counsel and submit to God. Furthermore, I'm always blaming other people for what happened and not taking responsibility myself. As a matter of fact, I'm always self-absorbed, concerned about my own hurts, but having no concern about the hurts of others. I mean, this is just like me.
I can assure you, no, they're not thinking that. They're thinking, I know somebody to whom this message applies. He's describing somebody I know. May I speak plainly today? Those relatives that treat you like dirt, they think that you have it coming to you. They are absolutely convinced about the rightness of their actions. And these kinds of people who can hurt others and not feel the pain of the people that they hurt are absolutely convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are right in what they do. They would be offended if you told them, you really hurt me. They'd say, what do you mean I hurt you? I'm the kindest person on the block. Let me summarize this by an application. There was a pastor who kept a clock in his office. And the clock never kept accurate time. Sometimes it was too fast and sometimes it was too slow. And he put a notation under the clock and said, don't blame the hands. The trouble is deeper. The trouble is always deeper, isn't it? So I give you two transforming lessons, both for you if you are the victim of somebody's insensitivity, as well as if you are the insensitive person, but you don't know it yet. First of all, either we will master sin, or sin will master us. Remember that. Sin is crouching at the door. You disregard God's counsel, and the demon is at the door. Let's look at a New Testament commentary on Cain. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of that evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. All that he needed was a fit of jealousy to destroy his brother. Don't be like that, because he was of the evil one. To speak plainly, the devil got him. Sin was crouching at the door and pounced. My dear friend, today I want you to know that unless our lives are open to the blessed Holy Spirit, who can point out our sin and who can show us how sometimes we hurt other people, maybe intentionally, maybe unintentionally, unless we are open to the Holy Spirit, we will not master sin. Sin will master us and it will destroy us. Because the truth is, I've been preaching about Cain. But in reality, I've been preaching about myself and I've been preaching about you, because there is a little bit of Cain in us all. And only the Holy Spirit of God can show us how we can be insensitive and how we can hurt other people. And so this is a time to say, oh Lord, please show us. And this is why sometimes it's so unfortunate that always in preaching we are so rushed, because now would be a good time to take out time in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God and to say, Lord, is it I? Is it I? Second, let us be united by the blood that forgives. By the blood that forgives. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 24, it says that there is blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel, and that is the blood of Christ. And it is there at the foot of the cross, all of us are united. At the foot of the cross, we come together. And it is there that we unite our hearts, and it is there that families can be reconciled as each confesses his sin, as each discusses with the others how these hurts have come about, and to bring about a family sense of unity. Because I'm not just speaking to the Cains who hurt people, I'm also speaking to those who have been hurt. I'm speaking to the Abels,
Abel, of course, died, but you may well be alive, but feeling the pain of someone else. And if people come to us and say, you know, you really hurt me, let us be open and let us receive their counsel and not be defensive, because there may be ways in which we have, and we've just either rationalized it or we're not aware of it. Because what God wants to do is to bring about a sense of unity within families and within a church. And when you and I have total forgiveness, and we're going to be talking about that, and if you didn't receive last week's message, it is critical that you do, because it has to do with the characteristics of those who will not give up their offenses. But what happens is, if we are open to God and willing to lay down all bitterness, willing to let the Holy Spirit of God search us, what we will find is an open invitation of the Holy Spirit to give us peace and leadership and direction and love and supernatural ability. It is all there if we're willing to say, yes, Lord, it is I. Let's pray. Our Father, today we ask that you will help us to see that sin is at the door. Either we will give up our bitternesses or bitterness will overtake us. And we may not physically kill someone, but we'll feel like it. And in that, O God, we will become like Cain. Father, show us how much we've been forgiven so that we could forgive others. Help us to see, Father, that the light of the Holy Spirit shining in our hearts can point out things that we never knew were there. May we take out all the time in your presence that is needed for us to say, Lord, show me. And then give me the ability to do what I know I have to. Grant that, O God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, my friend, even as I emphasized in the message, it is so necessary for you to take all the time that you need to deal with those issues in your soul that are keeping you from advancing in the Christian life. What is it that hinders your walk with God? Sometimes these issues cannot be dealt with quickly. They need time. Take that time. I want to thank the many people who support the ministry of Running to Win. I'm holding in my hands a letter from a woman who wrote to us and says that my Bible is filled with notes I took from listening to your sermons. I'm so grateful to God for you and how you have helped shape my life and make me more like Jesus. You've given me so much encouragement. God only knows I needed this while living under the daily persecution that is in my home. You, my friend, are part of testimonies just like that. We're looking for partners. That is, people who regularly support this ministry with their gifts. Of course, the amount that you give is entirely your decision. We call them an endurance partner. Endurance partners are those who are committed to helping us. Here's where you can find some information. Hope that you have a pen or pencil handy. Go to rtwoffer.com. Of course, RTW offers all one word. Go to rtwoffer.com. When you're there, click on the Endurance Partner button. Or if you prefer, you can call us at 1-888-218-9337. Perhaps you have heard me emphasize this before, but I consider the ministry of Running to Win as part of a great family. The family that prays for us, the family that contributes, and we are thankful for every single one of you. Here's what you can do to find out how you can become a more direct partner with us in the ministry. Go to rtwoffer.com, click on the Endurance Partner button, or call us at 1-888-218-9337. Remember, you're a part of every testimony that we receive. Every person that comes to know Christ as a result of this ministry, we are in this together.
It's time now for another chance for you to ask Pastor Lutzer a question about the Bible or the Christian life. Forgiveness and reconciliation are two issues that are often misunderstood. Today, we have a question from Karen, a listener clearly upset by a sense of injustice. She writes, "I've listened to your messages about harboring pain, resentment, and past hurts. I've experienced much hurt. But why do those who have done the hurting not have to say they are sorry to your face? Everyone always makes it sound like the person grieved is the one that must, quote, forgive and understand, and act like everything is just normal again, without any act of responsibility or accountability on the transgressor's part. Pastor Lutzer, I'm struggling in my heart."
Karen, my heart goes out to you because I understand your letter very, very well. Of course, the transgressor should be the one to ask forgiveness and to do it to one's face. But most perpetrators don't do that. I read somewhere that 80%, for example, of child abusers deny it when they are confronted with it. So that's the problem. So that leaves you, the victim. And what are you going to do? The reason some of us stress the need to forgive is for your benefit. Now, there is a kind of forgiveness that I believe that does not bring about reconciliation. I mean, there are people who perhaps have hurt you. Some of them may have already died, and you can't be reconciled with them. As a matter of fact, you can't be reconciled with some people who are alive, because reconciliation involves three things: forgiveness, respect, and also trust. So if you don't have those elements, you can't really be fully reconciled to someone. And we just need to accept that. But I stress one-sided forgiveness, where you lay down all of your bitterness, even though you've been wronged, and even though the person responsible refuses to own up to it or to ask for his side of forgiveness. Now, let me give you a verse of Scripture, Karen, that I think will help you. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, regarding Jesus, that he committed himself to God. When he was reviled, he reviled not again, but kept committing himself to him who judges righteously. The Bible says he did no sin, neither was any evil found in his mouth, and then it goes on to say what I just quoted. Karen, the injustice done against Jesus has not yet been answered. Justice has not yet been brought to him. That still is going to happen at the time of the resurrection and the final judgment. But notice, Jesus, instead of lashing out, he kept committing himself to God, believing that God was just and that eventually justice would be brought to his situation. Now let's speak about you, Karen. You need to get rid of that bitterness and to trust God in such a way that you believe that he is the righteous judge and that someday he'll set the matter straight. You give your need to the Supreme Court of the universe so that you can walk away without being bitter, because the bitterness will hurt you. It will not hurt the person who wronged you, but it'll hurt you. I pray today that you will be free.
Thanks, Karen, for sharing your story. Thank you, Dr. Lutzer, for those wise words. If you'd like to have your question answered, you sure can. Just go to our website at rtwoffer.com and click on Ask Pastor Lutzer. Or call us with your question at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. You can write to us at Running to Win, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Jacob and Esau are classic examples of how different two children can be. Like in any family, conflict was almost inevitable. Jacob the younger connived the birthright of Esau the elder, and the lifelong battle began. Next time, lessons from the family of Isaac. Thanks for listening. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.